Now back to the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's one thing after the series is over to call into sports talk shows and make it out like, oh, I knew that all the time. I knew it was going to. This is your chance to get ahead of the curve. We take your name. We take your location. We keep receipts on what people are predicting for this Knicks series. So if you are someone who predicts that the Knicks are going to win in a sweep, or if you're someone who predicts that the Knicks are going to win in seven, or we've not had it as of yet because Knicks fans are of one mind, of one voice. If you think the Sixers are going to win this, I've not heard anybody yet, but we don't, it's a long show. At some point, somebody's going to say, at what point does the Tibbs hate come out? We've not had any Tibbs hate. The Knicks have been so good and the expectations are so high, there's not even any Tibbs hate right now. And much like I was saying before, if things go wrong in a game, don't be surprised if the passion turns on the fans and the fans there get a little, if any, the series can go in a thousand different ways. That's why we tune into sports. We don't know how it's going to turn out. But if for any reason the Knicks don't win this series, you know right now who will get the blame. It will be the head coach. We know that. You can see that coming. That's baked in, man. You can see that coming from a mile away. You can see that from space. It's like the Great Wall of China. You can see that thing from the moon. That if the Knicks, for whatever reason, fail to win this series or fail to do whatever, the person who's going to get the blame for that is going to be the head coach. So if you want to get in on the record, the receipts continue. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. But look, the Knicks are not the only thing going on right now. We'll continue to talk Knicks throughout the show, and we'll continue to take your phone calls. But you got the draft coming up, and this NFL draft. If you, I say this all every year, and I think everybody is kind of one mind on this as well. If you are an NFL fan, you love the draft. The draft is where dreams and hopes come together, and delusion. Let's be honest, a lot of delusion also kind of takes over because you look at this is the time. If you root for a bad team, this is the time it's going to be different. If you root for a bad team, the fun time is not during the season. That's the work. That's a slog getting through an NFL team's season when your team stinks, right? You're at week three and you could already see, oh my God, this team is going nowhere. I got to sit through how many more of these games? I got to watch how much more of this slop? Never mind, oh, after the season, we're going to have to change this. We're going to have to change the coach. We're going to have to change the GM. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. So the season, when you root for a bad team, that's the tough time. But when you root for a bad team, the offseason, this is Christmas. This is the best. Because you can delude yourself into thinking things are going to be different. And the draft has been very prominent in New York for forever, but certainly recently because the Jets and the Giants have both largely stunk. And to me, last year, the offseason, fascinating for the Jets. The whole Aaron Rodgers thing, all the moves that were made, fascinating. This year, the Giants are, and especially at the draft, the Giants feel like the wild card of the 2024 NFL draft. It is must-see TV when the Giants are on the clock. It feels like anything can happen, right? And the main question is QB or not QB? Do they take a quarterback? Do they move up for a quarterback? Do they stay pat and get the guy that they wanted all along? They'll tell you that was the guy they wanted all along. Everybody always gets the guy they wanted all along. It's like when you come away from your fantasy draft and your buddy says to you, I really like my team. Of course you really like your team. You picked your team. Why would you not like your team? But the two narratives I've heard this week surrounding the Giants in the draft, one is a lesser one, but it needs to be pointed out. It got under my skin. This idea that, no, well, you know, Dave Gettleman didn't really telegraph his moves in the first round. Absolutely he did. And as someone who bet on the NFL draft, trust me, he absolutely telegraphed his moves. The Saquon move at two, we all knew that they were taking Saquon. And the only little sidebar of it was like, well, he can't possibly be telegraphed. No, he's telling you exactly, he told you he was going to take Saquon at two. And while we didn't know that the Giants were going to take Daniel Jones at six, There are reports. There's one team that thinks that Daniel Jones has a first-round grade. And it was pretty clear at that point that it was the Giants. Now, they had two first-round picks that year, 6 and 17, and maybe you thought, well, they'll take him at 17. But it was pretty clear they were going to take Daniel Jones at some point. It was not out of the clear blue sky shock. And then the third year, when they took Andrew Thomas, they had the fourth pick. We all knew that it was going to be an offensive lineman. They were going to get the first offensive lineman off the board in that draft, and it was just a question of which offensive lineman it was going to be. So you didn't know the name per se, but you knew the direction. This year, completely different. The Giants, it feels like they could do anything. They are a complete wild card. Move up. They could move down. They could stay the same. They could take a quarterback. It has to be something offensive. That would be the only shock. There's no way in God's green earth we will see a running back. There's better chances of a running back going second overall than the Giants taking a defensive player at six. There's no way they can do it. They need to fix this entire offense, and it has to start now. It has to start in this draft. So if it's a receiver, if it's a quarterback, whatever, they got to fix the offense. They need everything on offense. So the other narrative, and the main one that I've heard this week when it comes to the quarterback position, well, if the Giants move up, it doesn't really matter as long as they get the right guy. It doesn't matter what you pay as long as you get the right guy. As long as you get the quarterback and that guy's the right person. It doesn't matter if you give up future draft picks. It's all about just getting the quarterback decision right. I completely disagree with that. It absolutely does matter. Because here's the thing. We have to stop thinking of these players as there's only one answer when it comes to whether or not they'll be successful. They're not black and white entities. It's much more shades of gray. And it depends on the situation you're putting that player in. Now, yeah, I'm sure that there are some players that no matter what you do, you could put them in the perfect situation and they'll never be as good as other players. That might be true. Some players' ceilings are higher than others, and some teams make mistake-making picks all the time. I get that. But this idea that, well, we took that Patrick Mahomes would be Patrick Mahomes in any environment. You could put him on the Carolina Panthers, and he'd still be Pat. No, of course not. Situation matters. Talent matters. Coaching matters. Offensive line matters. Team matters. Just because a guy was a bust in one place doesn't mean that he would have been a bust every place. And it doesn't mean if a guy is great here that he's going to be great anywhere. And I will say this. If the Giants trade up and draft J.J. McCarthy, it will be a mistake. I'm not that high on the player to begin with. If you get him at six, okay, fine. But if you are trading away future draft picks, future resources that whoever the quarterback is going to be needs to improve on this offense, it will be a mistake. And it might be the final mistake. It might be the final nail in the coffin of the Joe Shane regime. If you get this one wrong, we all can say it's going to be the last thing you get wrong. Now, it might take a little while for you to realize it's wrong, but trading away future resources that you so desperately need to improve this offense and sticking a quarterback into that situation, whether it's at the start of the season, midway through the season, this offense is simply not that talented. It's one of the least talented offenses there are in the sport. The Giants are not just simply a quarterback away. So trading away future first or future second round picks, it makes the job of whoever you're selecting with that pick all the much more hard, much more difficult, because they're not going to have the resources around them that anyone needs to succeed. So if the Giants' offensive makeover, this ain't one of those TV shows on HGTV where they get it all fixed in 30 minutes. The Giants are going to need more than one offseason to remake this offense. Now, you hope that it's going to be much better from where it was to where it's going to be. I'm not saying that there's not going to be any improvement. There should be improvement. If you draft a wide receiver, if you pick up a new tailback, if you improve the offensive line, maybe you find a tight end because your tight end is still hemming and hawing whether or not he's going to play or not. but to be trading away future resources to pick a quarterback who would be what? At best, the fourth quarterback off the board. To me, the red flags are out, and that seems like a giant mistake. And I'm not saying that J.J. McCarthy can't be successful anywhere. I'll say this. If the Vikings trade up, I feel a whole lot better about a Vikings J.J. McCarthy than a Giants J.J. McCarthy, simply because the Vikings do have some resources in place, some talent in place. I'm a little bit more comfortable with their offensive line and their coaching situation. So, again, if the Giants do end up, when it gets to that day, if it gets to Thursday night, and all of a sudden at 3 or 4, they announce, well, there's a trade. The Giants have moved up into this spot. Well, you know that they're moving up to get a quarterback. And what they give up will almost certainly make that quarterback's job far more difficult. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go back to the phones. We're about to Lewis is in the car. Lewis, what's going on with you?
Hey, Gordon. Thank you for taking my call. I'm 54 yesterday. I've been a Jets fan my entire life. And other than them drafting Chad Pennington, I can't remember them ever getting a quarterback pick right. What I would like the Jets to do, trade down, get another second or get a second round pick, take a real offensive lineman in a row, and keep our quarterback standing. We don't need a wide receiver. We don't need a tight end. What we need are offensive linemen, because Aaron Rodgers makes everybody better, and the only thing that makes Aaron Rodgers better are offensive linemen that can keep him alive. That's all I want the Jets to do. Don't do anything stupid. Don't take a tight end. Don't take a wide receiver. Take somebody that's going to keep Aaron Rodgers upright.
Well, look, Lewis, I agree with you. I've been saying that for a while, and thanks for the phone call. If it were me, to think that this narrative that, well, the Jets have fixed the offensive line. They signed a guy who they already had once and let go and brought back, who's what, 32 years old, 33 years old for your right tackle? And then the left tackle, which is now, oh, it solidified the position. No more thought about the left tackle. He's a guy that played 13 games last year in the regular season, and that's the most he's played in a very long time. The guy is constantly hurt. The Cowboys drafted Tyron Smith, and you would think that they know him better than anything else, and they had to craft an entire training plan just to maximize him for the 13 games. You think that you're going to... It's almost like people are now expect, well, he played 13 games last year. He'll play 13 games this year. Really? You think that's how it works? What did he play the year before? I think it was two. I think he played two games the year before. So I'm in a complete agreement with you. If it were me and I was running the Jets, I will tell you right now, by the time the schedule gets to October, I'm positive that we will be talking about the Jets' offensive lines and concerns that we have of players missing time or things not coming to you. We wish we had some more depth at that position. This is a draft that's about, from all the experts, it's deep in wide receiver. It's deep in offensive line help. I'm more confident that you can find a receiver in the second round who can contribute right away than an offensive lineman in the second round who can come in and play left tackle if need be. So if it were me, I would be looking offensive line. It's pretty clear at this point, if you listen to all the people that are in the know and kind of read the tea leaves, it seems like it's going to be a skill position player. It could be the tight end Brock Bowers. It could be a wide receiver if one of them drops to them. There's a lot of talk that maybe the Jets could move up, right? If we're all saying that the Jets are all in on this season, that this is a make or break year, well, all in means that the future doesn't matter. So future draft picks cannot be a roadblock to improving this team this year. So if you're a Jet fan who wants them to see them solidify the offensive line in the first round, I think you're going to be disappointed. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Let's go to Jan is in Yonkers. Jan, what's going on?
Hi. Love your show, Gordon.
Thanks,
How
Jan. What's
you?
Going on? What you got?
I'm a diehard Knicks fan, as you well know. You
yes,
and Larry.
Yes, know that. Yep.
I think we better give Philadelphia and Joel Embiid a little more serious concern. And the reason why I say this, I think the Knicks in seven.
Okay.
I think we'll take it in seven.
Mm-hmm.
But our defense against the three-point shot is horrific at times. Not all the time.
Not all the time,
just sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's the concern that worries me. And can Coach Tibbs please use Shake Milton or Obi Toppin's brother to come off the bench at times in this game? Thank you for taking my call.
Okay,
your thoughts.
Jan, I appreciate you making the call. There is a better chance of me being drafted first overall ahead of Caleb Williams than you seeing Jacob Toppin or Shake Milton, I think, playing any significant minutes. If those are your expectations going in, I think it's safe to say you are going to be disappointed.
Now back to the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, people, it's the Gordon Damer Show. It's 98.7 FM, ESPN New York, 1-800-919-ESPN. Talking a lot of Knicks as we get set for Knicks, Sixers, Game 1. Knicks going out there getting ready to handle their business. I'm sure the Garden is going to be rocking as the Knicks try to grab this Game 1 and grab a stranglehold of the series against a Sixers team that... it's every year. It's a running theme how the Sixers kind of flame out in the playoffs and can't get out of the second round. This year, I don't think they're going to even get out of the first round, as I expect the Knicks to win this season, this series. Rather, I would say six games. I'm not going to get crazy here. Oh, Knicks sweep, the Knicks are going to win in five. No, I think a six-game series. I could see a seven-game series. I think it's going to be hard fought. I don't think Philly's just going to lay down and die, but Embiid is clearly... not 100%, and the Knicks are playing at their best. And when you're the second seed, if you are not getting past the first round as a second seed, you are a complete fraud. And the Knicks know that going in, and I think that their expectation is not just about the first round. It's about deeper than that, but it starts with the first round, and it starts with this Game 1 today. And the playoffs already underway. Cleveland with their Game 1 against Orlando, an early 19-8 lead there. You get Phoenix and Minnesota a little bit later before the real main event of Knicks-Sixers, and our coverage gets underway at 5:30. So we've been talking a lot of Knicks. We're taking your receipts at 1-800-919-ESPN. If you have a prediction about the series, a prediction about the postseason for the Knicks, certainly that is the way to go on the record. But we've also been talking about the draft because it's coming up on Thursday, and it is a major event for both the Jets and the Giants. Every little tidbit of the offseason when it comes to the NFL, we devour it because the NFL is just that big and that popular and that much of a focus for NFL fans. And for the Jets, it's a little bit different this year where I don't think that their moves, I mean, they had their moves that they made and they were all important moves, but I think the Giants are the more interesting team this offseason because they got a lot more stuff to do here. But in terms of the Jets, it feels like that the conversation has turned from, well, they're going to maybe go offensive line, where it definitely feels like this draft, at least in the first round, is going to be a skill position player. Is it the tight end in Brock Bowers? Is it a wide receiver? Do they trade up? There's been a lot of talk. I saw that Daniel Jeremiah, who generally has a pretty good read on the Jets as an organization, has in his latest mock draft having them trading up for Marvin Harrison Jr., which I'm sure would meet Jet fans' approval at the draft. And I was reading Rich Cimini the other day talking about to Joe Douglas about, I think he was the one that asked about the question about a tight end. And while he didn't mention Brock Bowers by name, he mentioned Kelsey and Laporta and George Kittle. What's funny is none of those guys were drafted in the first round. None of those guys were drafted in the first round. And it's kind of strange to me where it feels like if the Jets do take Brock Bowers in the first round, it's going to be a pick that is met with a lot of approval. Like, the Jet fans are excited about that as being the potential pick, even after given the Jets' history with high draft picks, not necessarily always first-round picks, but highly drafted tight ends, be it Dustin Keller from back in the day, be it Kyle Brady from back in the day, be it, what was the guy's name, Morrow? Is it Chase Amaro? Something like that. Chase Amaro. Who was the tight end they traded to the Vikings? You never heard from him again. Chris something. Chris, I can't remember his name. the Jets don't have the greatest of histories taking tight ends. And I thought that Shiel Kapadia, who writes for The Ringer, he always kind of puts out like these analytics pieces of mistakes that your teams could be making when hiring a coach, or just kind of rules to live by based on past experience. He had very good lines about and very good focus on drafting a tight end in the first round. Here it is. Quote, 9 tight ends have been selected in the first round of the past 10 drafts. Those players have combined for 0 all-pro nods and 1,000-yard season. Only one, David Njoku of the Cleveland Browns, got a second contract from the team that drafted him. It could still happen with Kyle Pitts and Dalton Kincaid. But we can go back even further. The last time a team used a first-round pick on a tight end who would go on to become an all-pro was Dallas Clark in 2003. Since 1990, which doesn't seem that long ago to me, but when you actually do the math, oh yeah, it is kind of long ago. Since 1990, there have been only 3 all-pro tight ends taken in the first round: Tony Gonzalez, Jeremy Shockey, and Dallas Clark. So if you're one of those Jet fans who's all pumped up for the possibility of Brock Bowers, and oh, it's going to be that weapon. I do think it's going to be an offensive skill position player, because the narrative about the Packers never did that for Aaron Rodgers, it just kind of feels like it's the shadow GM is putting his thumb on the scale of the first round draft pick. I think that that's the direction they're going to go, and we shall see. We shall see. It feels like to me that the Jets offensive line, even with all the moves that they've made, I would still not feel comfortable that that issue has been fixed. I would still feel like there's work to be done. All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-919-ESPN is the tell. Oh, before we do that, I have one other Jet thing that I wanted to touch on, and it came from this week, and it has to do with Zach Wilson. Joe Douglas came out, and he didn't rule out the possibility of Zach Wilson staying here. And I've gone on record. Look, you at this time of the year, GMs and teams say what they say publicly, and whether you believe it or not, we'll see how things play out. And I'm on a record as saying not even the Jets could keep Zach Wilson here, given the history, given everything that's happened here the last few years. But I will say this. If Zach Wilson, if the draft comes and goes, and Zach Wilson is still on the Jets roster, the Jets are one of the most embarrassing organizations in the NFL. Now, you might say, Gordon, they've made the playoffs in basically a decade and a half. They're already there. No, this would be worse than that. If you are still going to keep this guy on your roster when it's clear it didn't work, it has not worked, it will never work, you're not getting anything for him, the chances of you getting anything for him are gone, and you don't want to release him simply because it would be, I guess, embarrassing to just simply release the guy, there is no market for him. That is the definition of a sunk cost. You screwed up. You took him with the second pick overall. You shouldn't have taken him. It was a mistake. It did not work. Move on. It's clear to everybody. You're not going to pull a swerve on anybody. Nobody is saying, you know what? I know the draft is over, but you know who we could really use? No, you have until the draft. I don't think that you're going to be able to even get a 7th round pick. As I've said 1,000 times, if I were an organization, I've kind of been like forward thinking about this and say, hey, we'll take Zach Wilson. We'll take the money. You also have to give us a 3rd round pick in the future. But it doesn't seem like any team's even willing to do that, take on the money. But if the Jets, if the draft comes and the draft goes, and by the time it's over, Zach Wilson is still on the Jets, that might be the most embarrassing thing the Jets have ever done. It cannot possibly happen. I refuse to believe it happened, but I wanted to get on record just in case it does. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Richard is in Manhattan. Richard, what's going on, my friend?
You know, Gordon, it's funny you mentioned the 2 Knicks that won't get in the game. You said the exact same thing 1 year ago today. Actually, it was April 15th when I said, boy, I hope Tibbs will use Fournier because they can use some shooting. Right. And you said the same exact thing about Fournier last year. So you're consistent.
Yes.
Gordon, out of the six play-in games, the home team won five out of six. Okay. And you would think a team without their superstar is more important than home court advantage. It isn't. Home court advantage means much more in the playoffs than have your superstar. Now, listen, yesterday, Williamson and Butler didn't play. And their teams, well, of course, were both home, and the line was very small on both games. So you would figure you got to take the two opposite teams because the other team doesn't have their superstar, and they won easily. Now, you got three more games. You got Giannis not playing against Indiana. You got Kawhi Leonard, who's iffy against the Mavericks. And you got Embiid against the Knicks. And that's a pick'em game or close to it. So I'm very interested what happens in these three. And after the five superstars, Giannis, Leonard, Embiid, Williamson, and Butler, and if they don't play or play and they're at a reduced rate, see what happens. But it goes to show you that in NBA playoff basketball, the home court advantage is super important, especially with the
Rich,
line.
I think you're using too small a sample size there.
I guess so.
I think that any team, if you gave them two buttons in front of them, hey, you can have your superstar and play on the road, or you can be missing your superstar and play at home, they would always rather have their superstar and play on the moon rather than not have that guy.
I don't know, Gordon, for the playoff. I'm not talking about regular season now. Playoff is a different animal.
For the play, yeah, you want the NBA is the league where stars win. I'm positive
teams would
rather. You're looking at six games and thinking, if we took a dollar's worth of pennies and threw them in the ground, you'd find certain areas where they were all heads up. It doesn't necessarily mean it tells you.
Gordon, I'm not talking about the result. I'm talking about Vegas.
Right.
Vegas
okay.
made the lines. And these were the lines before the game. So that's what makes it inviting. That you'd think that, wow, look how close these games are in the line. You got to go with the team without their against the team without their superstar. I'm not talking about the result.
I'm talking about the result. What does it matter?
Vegas,
what Vegas
I'm going
is
what
saying.
Vegas
says. Is doing it to get equal money on both sides of the aisle. I mean, they just want to balance the books, and it's not necessarily telling you what. It's not like Vegas is saying, "Well, we definitely think this team is better than the other one." And Richard, thanks for the phone call. It's that they want to have equal money on either side of the aisle. Now, maybe there's a slight lean, but at the end of the day, they're just about making money. With all due respect, six games is not enough to judge it. Any team would, if you're asking the Bucks, hey, you can either have Giannis and play wherever, or you could not have Giannis and play every single game at home, I think that they would rather have Giannis and play wherever they had to play. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Let's go out to, let's hear, Donovan is in Atlantic City. Donovan, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Donovan.
How you doing? I actually think Zach Wilson is pretty good. I just think it's the team around them because, like, they lost all motivation as soon as Aaron Rodgers got hurt. So, obviously, they weren't going to have a good season.
But, why would they not? Why would they lose motivation if Zach Wilson's good? Wouldn't they be motivated for Zach Wilson, too?
No, they were never on the Zach Wilson bandwagon.
Let's play this out, Donovan. Why do you think that they were not on the Zach Wilson bandwagon?
He threw the defense under the bus. But I just think he needs a new change of scenery, you know? He's not that bad. He's taken with the number two
he's
pick for a
bad.
Real reason.
Right. Uh-huh.
No, he's not bad.
Okay.
He's better than I would say, out of 32 quarterbacks, he's at least top 20.
Top 20 in the NFL?
NFL.
In the NFL. Donovan, what time did you get up this morning, may I ask?
I got up at 8 a.m.
Uh-huh. Have you been doing anything that maybe you shouldn't be doing there, Donovan?
No, not at all. It's a good
holiday. It is 4:20, right?
Yeah, you know, yeah. I definitely.
All right, Donovan. There goes Donovan. There you go. Well, look, I think that generally is the case with a lot of the Zach Wilson fans. I think that that's very telling. 1-800-919. You never know what you're going to get when you go to the phone. Wes is in New Jersey. Wes, what's going on, my friend?
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Wes, what you got, man?
I don't know. I think I need to be hanging out with Donovan down in AC.
Yeah, Donovan seems like he's having a good time. He's down in Atlantic City. He's smoking a couple of J's. He's good to go. He's got a full weekend in front of him.
Yeah. I'm also calling about the Jets, but excited for the Knicks tonight. I think they're going to pull a win out. So I wanted to call. I love Joe Douglas. I think he's been a great GM. I really think he's done a good job. I know the Zach Wilson thing didn't work out. But, again, no offensive line. And that's why I'm calling, because they need to pick a lineman. They should trade back, pick an offensive lineman. There's a lot in the draft. I think if they can trade back to 16 or something like that, they'll still get a really good offensive lineman. And they need someone to protect Aaron Rodgers. It's like when Alan Faneca came with the Brickashaw Ferguson and Nick Mangold. He came in. You know, Tyron Smith can be that guy. He can teach these younger guys what they're doing, and it will help solidify it. But they need the talent there to have that happen. If they want to build for the next 10 years, that's what they need. They don't need a receiver. I mean, they do, but they can get one in the second round.
Yeah, look, Wes, I'm in complete agreement with you. Because thanks for the phone call. Let's say Tyron Smith is fantastic. It's a year-to-year thing, man. I would say it's a game-to-game thing, given the guy's injury history, but it's certainly a year-to-year thing. And if he's not here beyond next year, wouldn't it be nice to have a lockdown left tackle that you drafted with a top-10 pick that's worked out? I always find it interesting when people are like, well, I think that Joe Douglas has done an excellent job. The Zach Wilson thing didn't work out. The Titanic, the iceberg thing didn't work out, but the food, oh, they were fantastic. The lifeboats were roomy, they had nice seats. It's a pretty big miss, don't you think? Quarterback with the second pick in the draft. Nick is in Manalapan. Nick, what's going on, my friend?
What's going on, man? Thank you for taking my call.
What you got, pal?
Well, I think I got a little bit of interesting stuff for you.
Okay.
Not going to talk about how I get some info, but I do have some interesting things I'd like to share pertaining to the Jets draft.
Give it to me.
All right. So I think there's definitely a chance that Bowers is the pick. I'm going to preface this with that. But I want to, you know, stress that a lot of the times this year, you know, we're getting a lot of smoke screens, mm-hmm. a lot of strategically planted stuff. And from what I know, that there is one particular team the Jets would not mind seeing jump them for Bowers at round 8 or 9 so that they can land their number one target, which is Odunze, wide receiver.
Odunze. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, Nick, that certainly has been mentioned. I don't know that anybody is going to move ahead of the Jets for Bowers. That generally has not been a position that has gotten drafted that high. But no, Luke, the Odunze talk has been out there. There's been talk about between him and neighbors for the Giants, and it seems like Odunze is more of the well-rounded, like true X wide receiver, where neighbors is much more of the speed guy, the higher ceiling per se, but does a lot of his work and a lot of his damage out of the slot. So it seems like everything is lining up for the Jets to take a skill position player, either the tight end or the wide receiver. The only question is, do they stay where they're at? Do they move back a little bit? If they move back, then I think there's a better possibility of not only recouping that second round pick, but maybe going in the right direction. And you never really want to draft for need, but if you're all in on this year and your job depends on this year, then I have to solidify the one thing that if it's not fixed, nothing else matters. And if with the Jets, that is clearly the offensive line. And if you're Joe Douglas and this season, your job is riding on this season. You came in. And what was the thing that everybody taught? You got to fix the offensive line. You got to fix the offensive line. And they've made this move, and they've made that move, and they've made trades, and they've made signings, and they drafted this guy, and they drafted that guy. And it's still not really fixed. It might be better. It's like last year almost in some way with the tackles, where, like, how did you ever think you were going to get through a full season with the tackle situation being what it is? This year, it's better. Tyron Smith, when he plays, is fantastic. But he played 13 games last year, and that's the most he's played in quite some time. It still feels like it is an area of massive need.
Now back to the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.
The New York Jets select tight end from Penn State, Kyle Brady.
Ah, great Jet memories of drafts past. And there's that clip of all the different drafts. It's old now, but for some of us, it's still. Now, Joe, were you alive to remember the Kyle Brady pick?
No, I was not, but I am well informed about that pick.
You're aware, huh? The Jeff Lagerman. Do we have the Jeff Lagerman cut by any chance there as well?
New York Jets, first round choice. Jeff Lagerman, linebacker, Virginia.
See, that was back when the draft, before the age of social media, where it was clear who the pick was going to be and social media, it really was a real reveal back in the day. We don't have Mel Kiper's comments about the Jeff. It's clear that the Jets don't understand what the NFL draft is all about.
I wish I included that on the clip.
It was a day, man. It was a hoot. It was a hoot back in the day. All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. 1-800-919-3776. And Joe, have you planned anything specific for if the remote possibility that Zach Wilson is on the team beyond the NFL draft?
I'll have a hotel room in Atlantic City with.
Right. Do you want to contact Donovan? Have you?
Maybe.
You might need to.
Might need to keep that phone number handy.
Yeah, absolutely. Meet him someplace and kind of chill out. You're going to need something to chill out. I know that.
I need a lot to chill out.
I know that. All right, let's go to David is in East Orange. David, what's going on?
Yeah, how you doing, Gordon? First of all, thank you for taking my call. I enjoy you and Larry in the evenings. Your guys are a hoot.
Thank you very much.
You made a comment about if they keep Zach Wilson, they're going to be an embarrassment. They already in embarrassment.
I thought of that as soon as I said it. I understand.
You know, because they hired Adam Gates. Then they screwed up Sam Darnold. Now they're keeping Zach Wilson. If they do, they're no longer an embarrassment. They are the laughing stock of the NFL. And that's even worse than what's going on with the Chicago Bears. That's sad.
Yeah, well, look, David, I got to agree with you. Thanks for the phone call and thanks for the kind words. And why it would be so bad is because there's not another team in the entire sport that would still hold on to Zach Wilson at this point, right? The Niners took Trey Lance one pick later than Zach Wilson. They've already moved on. Now, they have a replacement in Brock Purdy, but the Jets have their own replacement. And I don't remember, was it a sixth-round pick that they got back? At this point, get back anything you can. If you can't get anything, well then, so be it. It's not going to improve. The odds of you getting something better down the road doesn't really matter. You're not going to get something better down the road. If you were going to get something, and it seemed like going into the offseason, it was a real stretch to think you were going to get anything for Zach Wilson. But if you go through the entire draft and there's not a single deal to be made, you can't move this guy for anything, well, then that tells you all you need to know about the value. You screwed up. He shouldn't have been the second pick. Nobody wants him. And move on. Cut ties. Don't bring this guy back. For you, for him, for all of us, for our collective sanity, please forget about new jerseys. Keep the ugliest jerseys in the world. Keep the ugliest uniforms in the world. I'm telling you, your fan base would rather have a team next year without Zach Wilson than whatever new uniforms you're going to give us.
Now back to the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, people, easily the most anticipated sporting event of the year, the pickleball showdown between Team DiPietro and Rothenberg and Team Anita Marks and Amani Toomer. Sunday, May 5th at Pickleball America in Stanford, Connecticut. Pre-game coverage kicks off on ESPN New York at 9 a.m. with a live broadcast hosted by Anita as she sets the stage. Then shortly after the show, the paddles come out for the pickleball showdown for the age. I was going to say, the paddles come out. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Be there on May 5th to witness this showcase event at Pickleball America in Stanford, Connecticut. Do we have a betting line on that as of yet? Rick and Dave have to be sizable favorites there, no?
ESPN Bet unfortunately doesn't have the odds of this yet, although I think I have to completely disagree with you. I think Anita and Amani have to be the heavy favorite here.
Why?
Because Anita is really the only true one with pickleball experience going into this.
Okay.
She and Imani have been practicing together a few times. Rick and Dave.
I would have to assume Dave and Rick have been practicing. They know that it's coming up. It's not a secret to them.
I think they've been practicing, but I don't know if they've done it together. Either way, my money's going to be on Anita and Imani.
Rick has got to have a decade on Imani. Imani's a little bit, I'm sure he's still in great shape, but Rick is a far younger man.
Oh, of course.
Dave like a tennis player back in the day?
Yeah, but my concern isn't Rick. I think it's going to be Dave that brings the whole team down.
I have more faith in Rick and Dave to be able to do that than I would think that they were going to be heavy favorites. If they took the thing, they had to kind of know going in, right? It was Anita that posed this to them, right? They didn't pose it to her.
Yes, that is correct.
It's like almost like a trap that they've fallen into a trap if they end up losing this thing. It's not good. All right, 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number, 1-800-919-3776. I also screwed up the clock already today. I thought it was 2 o'clock. It's not. It's only 1:54, so let's go to Rich in Oradell. Rich, what's going on, man?
Gordon, good afternoon. How are you? Just wanted to let you know I listen to you and Larry somewhat often. Really enjoy your work.
Thank you very much, Rich.
Okay, a couple of things here. First, as a longtime regular caller, a big Georgia Bulldogs fan since Herschel Walker's freshman year when I was a young kid. We all look forward to the NFL draft every year anyway, but the possibility of seeing where Brock Bowers is going to go, really exciting for me as a fan. I just think this guy, I know I'm not saying anything that we haven't seen many different and heard different people say on television and radio, but I think he really has a chance to be a generational type talent, almost like an Antonio Gates type guy, maybe that could possibly change the way people view the position. Although a lot of the tight ends now, we see that they're like pass catchers first, and any little bit of blocking they give you is just an added bonus. That's not really what I wanted to bring up, though, Gordon. Richard in Manhattan, who I really enjoy as a caller, he mentioned something about point spreads. Have you ever seen, Gordon, the 30 for 30 on Jimmy the Greek?
I have not, no.
Okay, the reason I bring it up based on what Richard was talking about, I believe, with the NBA play-in tournament and the point spreads, they said, during that documentary, Jimmy the Greek recognized long before everyone else that the point spread was never designed. And I think you were kind of mentioning this, Gordon. You brought this up toward the end of Richard's call. The point spread was never designed to tell us which team is going to win or which is the better team. Like you said, it was designed to get, equal wagering on both sides of the aisle and just get equal, betting on both teams. So, me personally, I don't really care for the I look at them, but I'm not a betting person. I just enjoy watching the games, but to each their own. But I just found that interesting, with Jimmy the Greek. It was funny. Sometimes I've heard so many stories over the years, people would be in a bar just talking among themselves, and then Jimmy the Greek would come on the NFL Today, and everything, it was like everything just stopped, and people would just hang on every word
he said. Well, of course, back then, because Rich, thanks for the phone call. We're up against the top of the hour. Back then, information was so hard to come by. Right now, you're taking in information. It's like trying to drink water out of a fire hose. It's the information is everywhere. It's all around us at all times. Back then, any little piece of information carried a lot more weight. No question about it.